Our scripture reading this evening is taken from John's account of the gospel, John chapter 8. And I'm going to be reading nearly all of the chapter. It's a fairly long reading, but I want you to get the context of what's going on in John chapter 8, as Jesus has a very detailed and interesting and controversial conversation with the Pharisees and some of the other leaders of the Jewish people. And the crowd is there listening as well. And as we come to the end of the chapter, we find Jesus making a very strong claim as to who he is. And so what I want us to be seeing and focusing on, particularly this evening, is this claim of Jesus as to who he is, that we might see Jesus lifted up and magnified in a very particular and special way, as he is here in John chapter 8. So I'm beginning at verse 12, and we'll read from verse 12 of John 8 down through the end of the chapter, verse 59. Let's give our attention to God's word. Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." So the Pharisees said to him, "You are bearing witness about yourself. Your testimony is not true." Jesus answered, "Even if I do bear witness about myself, my testimony is true. For I know where I came from and where I am going. But you do not know where I came from or where I am going. You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. Yet even if I do judge, my judgment is true. For it is not I alone who judge, but I and the Father who sent me. In your law it is written that the testimony of two persons is true. I am the one who bears witness about myself, and my Father, who sent me, bears witness about me." They said to him, "Therefore, where is your Father?" Jesus answered, "You know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also." These words he spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple, but no one arrested him, because his hour had not yet come. So he said to them again, "I am going away, and you will seek me, and you will die in your sin. Where I am going, you cannot come." So the Jews said, "Will he kill himself, since he says, 'Where I am going, you cannot come'?" He said to them, "You are from below. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins." So they said to him, "Who are you?" Jesus said to them, just what I have been telling you from the beginning. I have much to say about you and much to judge, but he who sent me is true, and I declare to the world what I have heard from him." They did not understand that he had been speaking to them about the Father. So Jesus said to them, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own authority, but speak just as the Father taught me. And he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him." As he was saying these things, many believed in him. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are offspring of Abraham, and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son remains forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are offspring of Abraham, yet you seek to kill me, because my word finds no place in you. I speak of what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have heard from your father." They answered him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus said to them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the works Abraham did. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. This is not what Abraham did. You are doing the works your father did." They said to him, "We were not born of sexual immorality. We have one father, even God." Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me, for I came from God and I am here. I came not on my own accord, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? Whoever is of God hears the word of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God." The Jews answered him, "Are we not right in saying that you are a Samaritan and have a demon?" Jesus answered, "I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. Yet I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death." The Jews said to him, "Now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died, as did the prophets, and you say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death? Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died, and the prophets died? Who do you make yourself out to be?" Jesus answered, "If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say he is our God. But you have not known him. I know him. If I were to say that I do not know him, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him, and I keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad." So the Jews said to him, "You are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham?" Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." So they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out from the temple. God add his blessing on the reading of his word. Let's ask God's blessing on our time together as we contemplate some of the things that Jesus is teaching us here. Lord God, we thank you once again for your rich blessings to us. We thank you for the word that you have given to us that we can read and study and in some measure understand and apply in our own hearts and lives. We pray that you would be ministering to us out of your word this evening as we hear the word preached and as we meditate and reflect upon it. Father, grant your blessing to us. Grant that we might see Jesus magnified and lifted up, because we ask it in his name and for his sake. Amen. Well, I want you to think for just a few moments with me as we begin about names. What's in a name? What does it mean to have a name and that sort of thing? I don't know all of your names. I know most of them probably. Some names have special meanings. Lots of names in our current society don't seem to have any particular meaning. But interestingly enough, throughout the Scripture, particularly in the times of the writing of the Scripture and the living of the men and women, both in the Old and New Testament, many names did have very specific meaning. And I can't tell you all of them by any means, but you're probably familiar with at least one or two of them. Probably the one that comes to your mind first would be the name Peter. It means a rock. And Jesus said that his name would be Peter because he would be like a rock in that way. One that you might not know is found back in Samuel, the name Ichabod. Kind of an interesting name. Ichabod is a name that has a very specific meaning. And in 1 Samuel, the 4th chapter, at verses 19 and following, this woman named her child Ichabod. She named him that because the army of Israel had just been defeated and the Ark of the Covenant had been taken away. And Ichabod is the name that means the glory has departed. In that verse 21, she named the child Ichabod, saying, "The glory has departed from Israel, because the Ark of God had been captured and because her father-in-law and her husband both had died." The name Jesus has a very specific meaning. And the angel told Mary and Joseph that they were to name Jesus that name because he would be the Savior of his people. Jesus is the same name as the Old Testament name Joshua. And so when you see Joshua, it means the same thing as Jesus. Some people think that Jesus had two names, the first name and the last name, like we do. But his last name was not Christ. Christ was his title. And we often say Jesus Christ, but probably what we really should say is Jesus the Christ. Because it means he's the anointed one. He was the one that was the Messiah to come. And if he had a last name, it would be Jesus Bar Joseph, Jesus the son of Joseph. And that's the given name of Jesus that we are all familiar with. But tonight, I want us to think about a very special name that he claims for himself, as we see in that passage that I just read. As I've been preaching up at Monument from time to time, I decided to do a series on the I Ams of Jesus in the Gospel according to John particularly. And there are a number of ones that are listed there where Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd, I am the bread of life," and we read a couple of them here in John chapter 8 as well, "I'm the light of the world," and we find him using a number of those names, but I'm not going to be looking at those particularly, but at something else that we'll get into in a little more detail in a few moments. But as we kind of move into this, I'd like us to think for just a few moments about this one that is called Jesus and some of the things that we know about Jesus in that way. John's gospel especially is a gospel that tells us about Jesus in a very particular way. And he is very intent in helping us to understand more about Jesus and who he is. For example, in the very first chapter, the first verses of John's gospel, we read, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God." And a little bit later on in that chapter, we find out that who he is that he's talking about is Jesus. And in that same chapter later on, we find John the Baptist, when he sees Jesus particularly, he says, "This is the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God." And John the Baptist testifies about that in verse 34 when he says, I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God. And John's gospel particularly is pointing to us the way in which Jesus is the Son of God. As we come to the latter chapters of John, we find that John's purpose in all of this is that we might know who Jesus is. He said, there's so many more things. I suppose if we wrote all of the things, the books couldn't be contained. There'd be too many of them. But what I've written is so that you might know that Jesus is the Son of God, that you might believe on him. We find a number of other people. John quotes from different witnesses that describe who Jesus was. I've already mentioned John the Baptist. Later on, Nathanael in the first chapter, verse 49, says, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. He makes that acknowledgement that early in his basically his first meeting with Jesus. The Samaritans in the fourth chapter, they come out, and you remember Jesus has this conversation with the woman at the well, and then she goes back and tells the Samaritans about this man that tells her things that she didn't have any idea how he could know all of these things about her. And then their testimony in verse 42 is, now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. They didn't just take her testimony, but they heard Jesus himself, and they became convinced of that. Peter, of course, gives the testimony of the disciples in chapter 6 of John when he says, we've come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God. The blind beggar that was healed said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him because he recognized him as the Lord in that way. Martha, the sister of Mary and Lazarus, when Jesus was in conversation with her about her brother who had died, and Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Do you believe this? Her answer was, yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who was to come into the world. Finally, the one that at one point didn't believe, but he said, I can't believe unless I put my hand in the prints in his hands and my hand into his side. Thomas finally said, my Lord and my God. And John gives us all of these and many other testimonies concerning who Jesus is in that way. But Jesus also gives us a good bit of teaching about himself. And here in the 8th chapter of John that I was reading, he probably gives us more detail concerning himself there than anywhere else. In the 4th chapter, when Jesus was talking to the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, Jesus said to her that he was the water of life and that he was the one that could give this water. But here in the 8th chapter, Jesus in his discussion with the Pharisees and the Jews goes on to tell them more about who he is. They can't accept it. They can't comprehend it. They can't believe that he really is who he says he is here. But we'll see more about that in a few moments as we go on and look at some of the things that he does say about himself there. But Jesus is saying to these scribes, these Pharisees, these rulers, the crowd that is there, there are some that do believe, it says, but in the next verse it indicates that it was maybe a shallow faith that wasn't really deep and wasn't really full-fledged in that way at all. What I want us to notice for just a moment in this 8th chapter is the way in which Jesus is rejected by these that he's having conversation with there. The enemies in the temple, they're hostile, they're religious leaders, they're Pharisees. They're not people that don't have any knowledge about the Word of God and what God has said about his coming Messiah and various things about that. But but notice how they react. They just can't accept and comprehend that he really is who he says he is. When Jesus says, "I am the light of the world," early in that chapter, they say, "Well, your testimony is not true. That can't be true." When he says, "My testimony is true, because I'm bearing witness of myself and my Father also is bearing witness of me," they say, "Well, who's your Father?" We'll see more about that in just another verse or two on this. They respond when Jesus says, "Where I am going, you cannot come," by saying, "What's he going to do, kill himself?" Must be crazy that he's saying that we can't go where he's going to go. He goes on to say, "If you will not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins." And they reject him simply by saying, "Well, who are you? What authority do you have to say something like that?" He goes on to say that he's been sent by the Father. He's heard what the Father has said to him. What he's speaking is words from the Father. And they don't recognize that he's speaking to them of God, the Father. In fact, as he goes on to talk about this, he says that he's revealing to them revelation that God, his Father, has given to him. And did you notice they accuse him of being an illegitimate son? And then they throw on top of that, "He must be a Samaritan." They're just rejecting him in every way that they can. And so they go on to reject him in all of these different ways. There are many, many more things that we could focus on there. Warren Wiersbe, who just recently died, in his little book about the I Am sayings of Jesus, in this passage points out that they will not give place to the Word of God. They trust in their human understanding, their human words. They hate Christ. They seek to kill him. They don't love him or the things of Christ. And they don't understand what he's talking about. And they refuse to hear the Word of God and what God is saying to them through Jesus Christ in this way. So the crowd is rejecting Jesus in all of this. And in that context, we come finally to the latter part of the chapter, where Jesus makes a claim for himself that they recognize. They know exactly what he's saying, and they are ready to stone him and put him to death because of that. But in order for us to get there, I'd like us to think just a little bit about what this name is. It's the great I Am. He says, "I am." And we need to understand what he's saying by that. In order to understand that, we need to go back to the book of Moses, the book of Genesis, and Moses and his conversation with God, as God calls him to go into Egypt and deliver the people. And as we come into the first chapters of Exodus, we find God speaking to Moses. He's calling Moses to go into the land of Egypt and to save his people from their slavery in Egypt, as they've been slaves to Pharaoh. And in Exodus, the third chapter, beginning in verse 13 down through 15, Moses says to God, "If I come to the people of Israel and say to them, 'The Lord, the God of your fathers, has sent me to you,' they will ask me, 'What is his name? What shall I say to them?'" And God said to Moses, "I am who I am." And he said, "Say this to the people of Israel, 'I am has sent me to you.'" God also said to Moses, "Say this to the people of Israel, 'The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever.' And thus I am to be remembered throughout all generations. So God gave Moses this very specific name, which we translate simply by the word I am. It's the eternal present in that way. In Hebrew, it's a four-letter word, and the children of Israel, because God said that this was his name, and because he said that it was a sacred name, they became convinced that it was a name that they should never pronounce. So we don't really know exactly what the pronunciation of that four-letter name is. They added the vowels for the word Lord and put them in, and it comes to us in English in a lot of our Bibles with the word Jehovah. It's usually translated just Lord with four capital letters, all four of them in capital, as opposed to capital L and then small letters. When you see in your Bible either the word Jehovah or the word Lord with all four of them capitalized, it's a reference to this name of God, which is I am. I am who I am. And so Moses was given that name, and it was a name that he was able to use in speaking to the children of Israel when he went to lead them out of slavery, as he took the name of God to Pharaoh and the various things that came about as a result of that. Now, Jesus, of course, is not speaking Hebrew at this point. He was probably speaking Aramaic, but the people understood what he was saying very obviously, as we see it in the New Testament here. So Jesus, as we come to these latter verses of John chapter 8, Jesus is saying, before Abraham was, I am, the eternal present. And they immediately picked up stones, and they were ready to stone him because they recognized that he was claiming to be God. He was making a very specific claim in that way. Throughout the Old Testament, we find this name, I am, presented in a number of different places throughout the Old Testament. In Isaiah, we find it probably four or five different times. Just a few examples of that. In Isaiah, the 43rd chapter in verse 10, we're told that the Lord is saying to his people through Isaiah, "You are my witnesses and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am, he. Before me no God was formed, nor shall there be any after me." Oftentimes in our English, it reads a little easier to say, "I am he." The he is really not there. It's just, I am. It's the eternal present in that way. In Isaiah 45, verse 18, we come across that in a very similar way, but with a little more explanation. "For thus says the Lord, who created the heavens, he is God, who formed the earth and made it, he established it. He did not create it empty. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, he says. There is no other." And so this expression, I am, we find throughout a number of passages throughout the Old Testament. Isaiah particularly there, we find it also in some others as well. we find it in the New Testament, not only in John the 8th chapter, but we find Jesus expressing it in a particular way in some other passages as well. You remember when the disciples were in the boat in a storm and Jesus comes to them and they're terrified, but Jesus speaks to them and says, "Take heart, I am." It's translated in most of our English, "It is I," but that's what he's saying, "I am. Do not be afraid." Mark, the 14th chapter, gives a little bit more about the the trial of Jesus. And while he's at trial there, he remains silent. And the high priest, this is the trial before the high priest, and the high priest says, "Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed?" Jesus said, "I am. And you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming with the clouds of heaven." And the high priest tore his garments and said, "What further witness do we need? You have heard his testimony. What is your decision?" And they all condemned him as deserving death. Why? Because he had just claimed to be God. He said, "I am. The I am." In John, the 18th chapter, Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane. Judas has led the soldiers and the crowd to come and arrest him. And you remember when they came, Judas was betraying him with a kiss. But Jesus, knowing all that would happen to him, John 18, verses 4 through 6, came forward and said to them, "Whom do you seek?" And they answered him, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus said to them, "I am." Judas, who betrayed him, was standing with them. And John's comment is in verse 6, "When Jesus said to them, 'I am he,' they drew back and fell to the ground." Why did they do that? Because it was like a theophany. They recognized what Jesus was saying. They recognized that he was claiming to be God, a very God. So Jesus makes this marvelous, stupendous, if you will, claim that he is the very Son of God, that he is God himself. Interestingly enough, in the Old Testament, that name that we usually say it in our English, Jehovah, people tend to use a little more Hebrew-sounding word now, Yahweh. And when they say it that way, it's the expression of the four Hebrew letters with some vowels to make it pronounceable for us. But the interesting thing is that there are a number of places throughout the Old Testament where that name is combined with something else. It's Yahweh Jireh or Yahweh Rophe. And there are about six or seven different places where that name is combined with another. Yahweh Jireh is "the Lord will provide." That was when Abraham had taken his son Isaac and was ready to offer him as a sacrifice. And you remember Isaac said, "Well, we've got the fire, we've got the wood, where's the sacrifice? What are we going to use?" And Abraham's response was, "My son, God will provide." And when God did provide, before Isaac brought the dagger down, it says that he named that place Jehovah Jireh. It was God will provide, the Lord will provide. There are a number of other passages where we find things like that, where the name I Am, or Jehovah, is combined with something else. And in looking at those, I began to think, you know, in some ways it's almost as if Jesus is following the pattern that was already there in the Old Testament. When he says, "I am the bread of life. I am the resurrection and life." It's very similar. It's a very, very comparable expression to what we find throughout the Old Testament. So Jesus is clearly, in this passage, claiming to take that name as his very own. He said, "Before Abraham was, I am." And when they said, "Well, Abraham's been dead. You're not even 50 yet. You're saying you've seen Abraham?" Well, yes, Jesus had seen Abraham. And Abraham had seen Jesus. I believe that the theophanies that we find in the Old Testament, for example, in Genesis, the 18th chapter, the men that were there, that were going down to destroy Sodom, they had their conversation with Abraham, and Abraham made his plea for Sodom, and it very clearly says that the Lord was involved in that. The Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do?" I believe that was an Old Testament appearance in human visibility of Jesus to Abraham. And there are other theophanies as well. It was the Lord, the great I Am, who met with Abraham there. And so Jesus alludes to this in verses 24 and again in verse 28, but in verse 59 he states it very clearly. When he's arguing with the Pharisees and the others in verse 24, he said, "I told you that you would die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am," ours translates it, "I am He," he says, "you will die in your sins. Unless you believe that I am, you will die in your sins." In verse 28, as he continues in his conversation with them, Jesus said to them, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am. I am He. And that I do nothing of my own authority, but speak just as the Father taught me." And then finally there in verse 59, as we've already said a number of times, Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." And they immediately knew that he was claiming divinity. There was no question in their mind that he was not, in their view, blaspheming. He was claiming to be God because he was using the name of God. And so this is the great name of Jesus, the name of God himself. There's a quotation from C.S. Lewis that I've always liked, and I'll read and share that with you as we close this evening. In his book, Mere Christianity, C.S. Lewis says this, quote, "I am trying here to prevent anyone from saying the really foolish thing that people often say about him, about Jesus Christ. I am ready to accept Christ." This is a quote that he's giving of many people. "I'm ready to accept Jesus as a great moral teacher, but I don't accept the claim, his claim to be God." C.S. Lewis says that is one thing we must not say. A man who was merely a man and said the sort of things Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on the level of a man who says he is a poached egg, or else he would be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman, or something worse. You can shut him up for fool, you can spit at him and kill him as a demon, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. But let us not come up with any patronizing nonsense about his being a great human teacher. He has not left that option open to us. He did not intend to. Jesus doesn't give us that option. He's either who he said he was, that is, the great I Am, or he was a liar, or a fool, or a lunatic, or something worse. Let's look to him in prayer.